Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
Of all the fan bases, and look, I've gotten cooked by them all. I've gotten cooked by Ohio State fans. I've gotten cooked by Texas fans. I've gotten cooked by Tennessee fans, Michigan fans, all of them. The worst fan base to have in your mentions talking reckless, Florida Gator fans. Florida Gator fans act like we can't never find your IP address. You know what I mean? That's how they talk on the internet. So I hope they find that clip.
I'm fine. I hope they do. Look, I was fully
it's
willing.
It's good for engagement. It's going to run them numbers.
I'll say I'm fully willing to stick my neck out on that one. That's how. And again, I am one of these people that loved Tim Tebow. Like, even as a 7 or 8 year old kid, a Georgia fan watching that, hating him, you couldn't help but admire the way he played the game.
No one called me fatter than Florida fans. And no one hit me quicker with that guy looks like a L word quicker than Florida fans.
Ooh. You got the allegations thrown your way?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I think we might have just peaked engagement farming because not only did we say Tim Tebow sucks, but we also hit the LeBron versus MJ debate.
Oh, my
God. And it's just flooding the chat right now. What else can we say?
You know what next? Taylor Swift, congrats on buying your own music.
Oh. Now, you don't want me to give Taylor Swift takes.
Anybody got a Belichick, Jordan Hudson take stored up anywhere?
We can give Taylor Swift takes on here. But, you know, this isn't a music
the Swizzler?
Podcast.
Do they call her that?
The Swizzler?
Yeah.
They call her, I mean, their fan base is called
Swifties. Who was with me in Dallas that time the Uber ride or Uber driver claimed he gave Taylor Swift a ride one time? Neither of you?
I don't think either of us.
Was that Matt?
Oh, that was SEC Media Day.
You yeah. You told us this.
Oh, yes. My God. What a great story. Also a bold-faced lie. A bold-faced lie. Claimed she had a red wig on. Bold-faced lie. Just brother, wanted some sushi.
Brother, I don't think that was Taylor Swift.
I don't think that was Taylor Swift. Local hour. It's going to be a great one. We have a potential decommitment, maybe, brewing. Not really. Flippy floppy. We got some intel on that one. We got some tape to watch. There's a new rule in Georgia high school football that I'm excited about, certainly. It's going to make my job a little bit harder, but I think it's good for the sanctity of the sport. Gunnar Stockton, year one legend, triple question mark on the show notes.
Don't worry. Don't look at me for that one. That's
I'm
me.
Excited.
That's me.
OSU,
that's me.
I'm excited about it. James Cook news to talk about. And I got a George Pickens take I've been culminating.
Oh, let's go.
It's half-baked. She's rising.
Oh, even better. Engagement farming. Mike, even, we'll save that.
Oh, we're going to talk about Rodgers, buddy.
Aaron Rodgers.
We're going to talk about Rodgers tonight.
YouTube is just like, they're hitting everything right now. What do we do? What do we do? How do we slow them down?
Peeking. That's what we're doing. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Like, subscribe, rate, review. Boys, about 2 hours before the show, On3 hits us with a sliding scale majiggy. Brady Marchese, thinking about flipping to Michigan. I text three Georgia sources, same text. Is Brady Marchese flipping? First two responses. What you hearing? Third response. First two responses from the scouting department. You know, people kind of in charge, not necessarily on field. Next response comes from somebody on field. Handles like whistle every once in a while. Hey, definitely happening.
Huh.
That dude's flipping. He gone.
I mean, we had the decommits.
Article ready. Prepped. Nug don't send out. Nuggy Nug. Got it confirmed. Buddy about to flip. So I send a text message to the person who confirmed he's flipping. About 20 minutes after I get the text message that he is flipping. Hey, just let me know if he changes his mind. Very next text message. He did. Back in the class. Go Dogs. Woof woof.
Hmm. Has this ever happened to us?
To us?
Or just in, like, I'm sure it's happened in general, but I can't remember a time where it's like, oh, that kid's gone, and then 20 minutes later it's like, he stayed.
It very clearly seemed to me that Brady Marchese had made a phone call to the Georgia coaching staff. I'm gone. Very quickly made another phone call. I'm just kidding. I'm back. I'm a dog. All dog.
What do you
think?
This
wasn't like I'm shutting down rumors. This actually happened.
But not only like shut down the rumors, shut down the commitment after.
Yeah, shut it down. I'm a dog.
What do you think happened in the
That's what I was
going to
ask. Like, what happens in 40 minutes?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it became real. Once all the text messages, all the phone, is this, are you really flipping? Because what seems to me is he made a promise to Michigan's coaching staff. Michigan's coaching staff called Steve Whitflong. Steve Whitflong put the prediction out. Then this kid's phone probably started blowing up. Probably had to make the phone call to Georgia. Then he makes the phone call to Georgia. And then it's concrete. Like, this is happening. Oh, my God. I don't feel good about this. Let me change my mind while I can. Maybe that's what happened.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine on that. But it is very interesting to have something like this happen so quickly. Like, we've seen examples of, like, players testing the waters. Like, oh, I'm opening my commitment back up. Or I'm entering the transfer portal for 24 hours. But I've never seen a player be predicted to flip to a school and then within an hour say, I'm shutting down my
I haven't seen a player verbally flip back and forth this quickly.
Yeah, no.
I certainly
I guess because he took his Michigan visit first.
Yeah. But I just got back from OV. He was on campus at Georgia recently.
And that's what I was going to say is typically how this would happen is you go to Michigan on your official visit, then you flip to Georgia. You cancel your official visit to Georgia, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was weird. Like, he was just in Athens, and now they're predicting him to go to Michigan. Like, maybe the timeline was he goes to Michigan. Oh, I'm going to Athens next weekend. I'll break the news to Coley. I'll let him know what's going on. Then I'm going to flip to Michigan that couple days after. That's what Michigan coaches thought, and then it went differently. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, it's again. I don't want to like keep throwing out assumptions because one of them is probably going to stick and be like, oh, that's what happened. But it's a weird situation, nonetheless. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like he's dog for good though.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's good news.
Him and Fitzpatrick.
Any 6 foot, 185 pounder who's running 10.6, you need to get if he's in state. So there's that. I want to watch some film. We've been delaying watching film for quite a while. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to watch Vance Spafford. We're going to watch Craig Dandridge. We're going to watch Brett Colajay. And we're going to watch Kamari Brooks all mainlined back to back to back to back to back. And while we're over there, we also need to put Wheezy on the wall because he super subbed, or as we call it around here, super chubbed north of $20. So let's make sure we put Wheezy on the wall and let's go grind some tape. What a beautiful day, man. Got to play a full 18 today, boys. It was
must
nice.
Must have been nice.
Cool.
What were you doing today, Kirby?
Oh, you got it so bad, man.
What was I
you
doing?
You guys got it so bad.
What was I doing? I just stayed home and worked. I didn't even go to the gym today.
You stayed home and worked. Man, golly, boss is just a bum, huh?
No, never.
Wheezy. I shot a 94. It was ass. It was absolute
ass. That's okay.
Ass.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So par 72.
Yes. Thank you, Jay.
I mean, I was 8 over through 3. It was chaotic.
It's the least amount of strokes, Kirby.
Oh, so the high score doesn't win in golf?
No.
All right, this is Vance Spafford right here. Ooh, good little release right there. Can we high point that football? We did. I like that.
Bro, what the hell is that?
I like that
way?
A lot.
Is that 10?
All right, so we know this guy is another 10-600 meter runner. He's a go-go gadget. He can go get it. All right. Some juice right there.
Horribly thrown.
All right, first two clips, you know this reminds me of? This reminds me of Anthony Evans' tape. Okay, Anthony Evans' tape in high school was filthy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Anthony Evans had, like, I'm a football player, not a track guy tape, which I love to see from guys who I know are track guys. It looked like there was some patience in that route. I like how we're high-pointing the football
very
so far.
Very much so. And by the way, like, while you're on it, Anthony Evans' tape and skill set translated.
Yeah.
It just was the
no opportunity.
That and the other stuff kind of
yeah
put him on the down on the bench.
Boom.
I mean, I don't think he's caught a single ball off his body yet.
Yeah, no, we're high-pointing things really, really well here. All right, I know he's got yards after catch, so we're going to see it right here, I would imagine. Yep, we're going to split those two guys with the angle. No, I would have liked to see some pull off on those guys with two angles right there. I'm a football player. I'm a football player. I like it.
Ooh.
I like it. How do we feel about the drip?
Drip's good.
I like the drip.
I never was a quarter sleeve guy.
You're not a quarter sleeve guy?
I was never a quarter sleeve guy, but.
Yeah, me neither. I was a, like, sleeve up to the half arm guy.
I just taped the wrist, like, halfway up the forearm. That was me.
That is an. You know who that looks like, don't you?
Do that again?
That pull-off right there?
Let's see.
This release off the line of scrimmage. That looks like a very, very famous Georgia wide receiver. You saw it? Look like Ladd, didn't
little
it?
Little laddie.
Yeah, I did.
It, like, body movements look like Ladd right
Can't
there.
Can't even deny the allegations right? here.
That no. looks like Ladd McConkey running a post.
Yeah,
that's what that looks like.
The only thing that would stop it is if he didn't do a stutter step 5 yards in.
Yeah.
We're getting some screen game here.
Yeah, we're going to actually tunnel this, or we're going to take – yeah, we are.
I mean, that's
– do we take this 90? No.
Whoa!
Physical at the end there. I don't know if the chat saw that. I think they did.
They closed in on that well. That's
all right, we got man-to-man right here. Get a good release off the line. Hey, I like this from the OC, too. This is a good call from the OC right here. All right, we're already into the boundary right here. Ball in the right hash, right? FOB formation into the boundary. We're going to motion this man-to-man release, condense the set even more. And now guess what? We got all that room from the numbers to the pylon to throw this fade. That's a great job by that OC right there. Great release as well by Spafford.
Great execution all the way around.
Absolutely. Love that play call. I love how he keeps his head down early in the route, man. Dude. That first 12 yards of these routes are deadly.
That was Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These 12 yards right here, the body lean, how he runs the top of this stem, it looks like Ladd.
That stem outside was Ladd McConkey.
Was Brian Kelly at that game?
Bro, no way. You just did that.
I don't get the joke.
Go back and watch the tape one more time, man.
What am I missing?
All right. Watch it one more time, and I'll tell you when to pause it.
All right.
Play. And pause.
Oh, I get it now.
Bro.
I get it now.
That's the most out of pocket.
That is a crazy joke.
Insane.
I think that one's pretty stable in high winds. All right. It looked like it had some solid footing. That was crazy.
I feel like everybody takes jokes at that.
I hope Georgia.
We're back to the tape.
I hope Georgia doesn't have to go to Death Valley at times because I don't think we're getting credentials.
I hope they. I hope they hold on to this more and more. Watch this tape, man. This is good stuff.
See why Michigan wanted him.
Yeah. Well, this is Vance, not Brady.
My bad.
You're good though. This would be a USC concern.
Yes.
Now I would like to see you crib this.
That safety's got such a good angle.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Is I know he's expected to be on campus this weekend, so I guess, does that feel like the deciding factor in the recruitment?
Jonathan, what scares me is every time I bring him up, I no answer, no response. That's what scares me.
Yeah.
Is like every time I ask, if I ask and they feel safe, they're going to tell me everything's good.
Yeah.
If I ask and it's a no response, and I hope they hear this because if they feel good, they'll finally say something. But it's multiple people. Hey, what do you think about this? No response. I ask him another question, boom, get a response. And it's like, why y'all ducking me on the Spafford stuff? So
think that's probably because they don't know either? Or?
Yeah, or they're worried and they don't feel confident.
They don't want to put anything into the ether.
And Kirby, it's rare this staff doesn't feel confident about something.
Right.
This staff, the last 3 years, it's like, oh, we're getting everybody. And they don't always, but it feels like they do. So this is Craig Dandridge right here. All right, and you're about to see. This is 1,400 yards in 7A football. This is going to be electric, okay? This is going to be electric right here.
Yeah, buddy. This the Bears?
Hey, you know what's crazy? The guy we just watched technically has a faster PR in the 100 than this.
Interesting.
This is a 10.78 guy. That guy we just got done watching is a 10.66 guy, okay? So we're talking about a tenth in the 100. That's like 5 yards.
That's also a tailwind difference.
I know, but that right there is football speed. I mean, that's like, I got real shit. I can go.
Damn, bro. Is Cambridge like that now?
Cambridge threw for 3,700 yards last year. And by the way, this lefty, I wish I remembered his name. This kid needs to be on a roster somewhere. He was number two in 7A passing last year and throws it like this. We're going to see some great tape right here from this kid and a wide receiver's highlight, not his, okay? Hudson, that's the receiver. Anyways, this kid needs to be picked up somewhere, all right? I mean, look at that ball. Look at this next ball right here, Kirby. This kid is unsigned, has nowhere to play college football. He's 6'2.5". Look at this ball.
Ooh.
Anyways, Craig's nuts. Craig has checked off every box there is. Okay, so here's the boxes in some of these processes. And we're going to high point this football.
Weston Taylor.
Weston Taylor? That kid needs to go play college football somewhere.
This is Campbell?
36 touchdowns last year.
This is Campbell. And that's Centennial. That's Cambridge versus Centennial right there. Him in an end of a half situation against a Hail Mary pick sixing.
Good Lord.
Is what that is.
Pope.
All right, but anyways, back to Craig. So Craig is what a box checker. And here's why I think this guy has vaulted himself into a must-have for a lot of football programs, okay? The junior tape is insane, right? Is what we're watching right here. The junior tape's great. Junior production is great. So we're checking two boxes. Not only is there a high rate of production, the tape matches it, okay? All right, he goes in the spring and runs track and sets PRs. Runs 10.77, 10.78 consistently. So we're checking a box there. You go in person and watch this kid at spring practice. He's dynamic as shit, making plays left and right, high pointing balls, making guys miss, goes to his spring game, balls out again in front of every SEC coach that's already seen him this spring. So, like, we're just bang, 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 doing everything we can to make sure we're a priority take at a lot of schools. I mean, we're outrunning camera guys, man.
He's one of those slow, fast runners where it doesn't look like he's moving fast, but he's gliding.
Wait till you see him in person. Because there is immediate suddency with this guy in person, too.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah. But you're right. There's an easy glide to him on tape. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. There's an Ichiro. We call that the Ichiro quality around here. Mm-hmm. Where Ichiro's the fastest guy in Major League Baseball, but never looked like he was running. Same thing right here. I see what you're saying. But when you get up on it in person, there is a suddency to this football player. Again, with this cue, man, that is a bomb.
Wasn't a great ball, though.
No, it wasn't. It's because it's Alpharetta. Yeah, we're flicking that thing, boy.
Great catch, too.
Love Craig's tape, man. This other wide receiver, this number five right here, this guy went for 1,400 yards or 1,200 yards last year as well. This Jeez. Kid right
I
here.
The Bears were slinging
this
it.
This kid right here in the slot. In 2021, this kid's at Clemson as a PWO. I guarantee it. All right. Now, he might end up P5 by the end of the year because he's already picking up a bunch of steam mid-major-wise, but that kid's going to end up at Georgia Southern where several years ago, I'm telling you right now, he's a P5. Mm-hmm. The tape is phenomenal. Who else we got? We're going to watch some O-line tape now. We got Brett Colajay. I love this tape. All right, this is IMG interior offensive line tape. So the pedigree or the profile right now for offensive linemen for Georgia in this class is you better play with your hair on fire. That is very obvious, right, by what they're doing as of late. They took the Graham Houston. They take the Zachary Lewis kid. Both of those kids are, I am going to block to the echo of the whistle football players. This is a little bit of both. This is, I'm going to block to the echo of the whistle, and I might be borderline blue chip prospect type of kid. Okay, this is a 6 foot five-ish, 6 foot six-ish, 315-pound offensive guard from IMG Academy, and he plays the game nasty. Okay.
He's got the touch of death.
Yeah, man. He plays – I love that, the touch of death. This kid's got it. He's got heavy hands is what Kirby just said.
Oh, my. Yeah. See?
He's got heavy hands, man. Got bricks in his hands. They must teach something the right way at IMG because all these dudes come out with heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not, like, moving super explosively. That would make you go, holy shit. But when he touches you –
But just... think about the interior guards this program has produced in the last couple of years that are exactly what you're just talking about. Tyler Booker, J.C. Latham are from this program, and they are I think Francis plays this way. Moaga from Miami. Now, I know he's a tackle, but he's got freaking lightning in his hands as well. You see that foot fire?
Mm-hmm.
Watch how he gets his base up underneath him right here on this next clip, okay, guys? Watch how we get 2 feet in the ground right here on this three technique, okay? Watch this. Ba-ba! All right, and great pad level right there as well. We're in the right area of that shoulder pad, and we're going to drive to finish. I love that. We also know from IMG a couple of things. You're going to be clean. You're going to be well coached, okay? And you've also played high level of competition consistently. You travel around the country. You're ready to travel in a college dorm setting. You're ready. This is Bishop Gorman they're playing right here, I believe, or maybe the team from up in St. Louis that Luther Burden played on. I can't quite remember. But either way, they're playing dudes. Is that him pulling? Holy shit. What an athletic movement right here.
Let me see that.
Look at this right here, Curb.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You know what I love about this? We kept our shoulders square as we're rounding that edge right there. Watch this, guys. We come around looking for trash. I think he's supposed to be the kicker right here. This is power. So he's looking for 19 the entire time. Watch him continue to run the pace of the angle right here as 19 works to go out and keep his shoulder square the entire time. Mm-hmm. That's delightful. And you're right, the death in the hands, man. Now, I know Georgia loves this player, and I think Georgia feels relatively good about where they're at right now with Breck. Boom.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, did you see that?
Yeah, he laid on him?
No. Number six, this was a classic move to do if you get pancaked. After they pancake, flip up really quick and try to kick him
over. Yeah, get a gut shot with the cleats. You were a dirty son of a bitch, weren't you?
It was fun, dude. Bro, I was 190 pounds playing Mike. I mean,
we ain't got a glory day right now about Sequoia High School football, but I'm with you.
Talking about 190-pound Mike linebacker isn't glory daying, dude.
I'm with you. Kamari Brooks, edge rusher out of North Oconee High School. I think he's the number one priority at edge, and we're going to show you why. 6'5", 225 pounds. This is a guaranteed certified AAU hooper, Jonathan. This is an AAU hooper. So go ahead and go ahead, do your thing. Go ahead, pull up his hoop tape because I guarantee he's got it. This kid's played big time.
You want it there?
I mean, after we watch this, we can dabble. If it's good stuff. If it's good stuff, let me continue to talk about this. I think this was like a high level. I play with are the Atlanta Celtics still a thing in AAU basketball? Like, mm-hmm. If it were, that level of AAU hooper was this kid. And then it was very apparent you're not going to be 6'9", but you are going to be a Division I offerable football player if you come play edge. So started learning to play football as he got into high school. This is not a lifer at the sport, I don't believe, okay? This is him playing off ball right here. Tremendous athlete. All the basketball athleticism remained. Now, for your Georgia fans, you should know this, okay? And I'm going to tell you if you don't. Guess who his outside linebackers coach is at North Oconee High School?
David Pollock.
Yes. Did you laid out because you knew and you were being a good teammate? That's good stuff right there. Yes, David Pollock is indeed his outside linebackers coach out there in North Oconee. Am I good to touch this screen now?
Oh, you're good.
Okay, here we go. Stand up out there. Tremendous athlete.
He's blitzing. Or he's reading it.
Oh!
Whoa! Oh!
Buddy just got hit in the throat with a foul owl.
Another touch of death, dude. There's nothing.
This is state championship right here.
There's nothing more fun than surprising the pulling guard. Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Did you see that?
Buddy, he had like 3.5. I think he had 4 sacks in state championship.
Watch him make a conscious decision here to be, I'm not playing. I'm rushing here. I'm just going to go get the quarterback.
Yep. I mean, you have 4 sacks in a state championship game against Marist running the wishbone. You're kind of a guy.
Oh, he can fly.
Buddy. Yeah, buddy. He can roll. Boom.
Bro, no.
Yeah, he just put that one on there. Look at him staying outside leverage. I love that. Guys, so many young kids dip up underneath on this next rep. So many kids. All right, there's so many opportunities for him to play inside right here.
The end had a good reach step on him, too.
Yeah. I mean, most kids right now are probably bailing inside. All right, and he continues to stay outside leverage and banana peel that thing. He played with his hair on fire in that football game. I mean, I'm sure he does every game, but this was impressive to watch first person. Man. Up close. Damn. Now, what I don't know about right now is, again, because we're very, very young at the position, I don't know about our hand fighting skills. I don't know about our bag, if you will.
I was gonna say, a lot of, I'm going to shock you and just get past you.
Yeah, we're going to beat you with birth. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I have no doubt about the athletic profile of this kid.
I was going to say, even if he doesn't have the best pass rush bag, he still projects pretty well as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, and as just a body, like a mover,
uh-huh.
Right? I feel like so many times at this position over the last several years, they've taken the 6'5", 240-pound freak mover. Like they've all had great tape. This is great tape, but they all have like certain things that they're missing,
right.
Certain things that they need to add to their bag. This kid's got, the pedigree, the physical. And here we go, on offense, are you shitting me?
Oh, he's cribbing. No, he's not.
Oh, he must have fumbled.
When the clip ends, really, something
bad
happened.
I always assume something bad happened. Yeah, we're just winning with traits right now, but I'm okay with it. You know?
Yeah.
We're going to get so many reps at this when we get, even before we put pads on. As soon as we get on campus in January, we're going to be doing one-on-one reps all day, every day.
And again, I would rather take a raw product like this than someone who is so technically sound and has a hand fighting. You can train hand fighting a lot easier than you can just train pure athletic abilities to run through someone. He's setting up the basketball tape.
Is it good?
I think it definitely shows his athleticism. I like it.
All right, Jonathan, come break down the hoop tape.
I mean, there's really not much to break down in this.
Some yams?
Yeah, there's a few yams.
We got some yams?
Yeah.
All right, that's the baseline. We got to at least get some yams. No, no basketball tape shown on this program unless there's yams.
Some of it is just I'm bigger than literally everybody, but there's also some you'll see it on this first one.
Uh-oh. That's him on the break?
Oh, God.
Dude, that's him on the break?
Yeah.
Wow. He is a really good
athlete. There's another
one. He's a great athlete. Not a really good athlete. He's a great athlete.
Does the same thing in football, too. That's awesome.
Let's go. Oh, good lay. Dude, I would be such a great ninth man on the bench.
You can't do anything about
it. I would be such a great ninth man on the bench.
Just clapping.
Yeah, man. Let's go.
I was on board when I was watching another one of his highlights for basketball, and he included a charge in the highlight reel. I'm on board.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on board.
Feet planted? Got there early?
Oh, yeah. Textbook. There's another dunk in here, though. Here it is.
Right here?
I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the best bunny we've had.
Yeah.
That's some elite, rapid acceleration in the air. It's off two, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A little two-handed, a little two-bunny.
Easy.
Yeah, good football player. Priority, got to have.
Mm.
Got to watch out for Alabama. Watch out for Alabama. But I don't think if Alabama's got their teeth in them yet, they might not have them.
We did have someone ask a question via Super Chub while you're at the board.
Talk to me.
Comes from Charles Sharp. Kind of random, but why is Jeremy Bell talked about none? He seems like a freak athlete. Y'all seen that dunk none. Video? Question mark. Love the video, by the way. Or love the show, by the way.
None?
Who talking about him? None. Now, the national media is not going to hype this kid up because they're the national media and they can only pay attention to the big names. But Georgia fans know who Jeremy Bell is.
I felt like Jeremy Bell was the talk of spring.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the Lord knows they didn't help this narrative either because Georgia was tweeting him out left and right. Mm-hmm. Every photo they tweeted
and he kind of went off.
And he went off. I mean, he went off in the spring game. He went off. He played well. Here's my thing on Jeremy Bell, okay? We live in a salary – no more – I mean, it's literally what we live in. We live in a salary cap sport nowadays. So if Jeremy Bell is playing this year for Georgia – that means you wasted a whole lot of money on Zachariah Branch. That means you wasted a whole lot of money on Dylan Bell. That means you wasted a whole lot of money on CJ Wild. It means you wasted a whole lot of money on Taylor Taylor. It means you wasted whole lot of money on Colby Young. Okay?
You fix that.
There's a lot. Mine's still up. Now
this
we froze.
This one's not on me.
Now we froze.
Kirby let the screen fall.
But anyways, it would be a great story. And I'm saying if he's the best player, he's the best player.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. I am not saying you shouldn't play the best player. But if he is the best player, that means your scouting department has done not a very good job. Now, they've done a good job of finding the walk-on that came out here that was committed to Indiana that wanted to go to the University of Georgia. They did a great job there. But if he outplays the guys you spent money on, I think that's a problem.
I wouldn't necessarily advertise it as a huge problem. It's definitely like a red flag of, oh, the lesser guy is doing better. That means something didn't work out. But we've seen this before. We see this all the time, and we've talked about it. There's guys that outwork older, more veteran players that earn. I mean, the perfect example I think of this would translate is Ladd McConkey and Jermaine Burton. Like Ladd McConkey slowly started creeping his way up into the snaps to where it was Jermaine Burton transfer. And it wasn't necessarily like the Jermaine Burton experience was a massive failure for Georgia. It was just they got someone that was better.
You know
what?
I should change my thought process on this. This is no different than Puka Nacua being so good that Cooper Kupp has to get traded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the way I should think about this. Instead of thinking of, oh, we just wasted $700,000 on a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because of the walk-on who you're not paying.
Wasting $700,000 on a wide receiver would be getting that wide receiver here, paying him, him going.
Him being poop and no Jeremy Bell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Him being like, well, this guy's not good at all. Like, if a player outworks another player, like, I feel like that's what you'd want at Georgia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, I think he is talked about. I mean, Kristen Miller's talking about him on a podcast, saying he's one of the freakiest athletes. He's the freakiest athlete on the team. So I think there's plenty of love for him. But
and I know why. I know why this chat or the question is getting asked today. He got tweeted out again today dunking over somebody.
Three. Yeah. I mean, three somebody.
Three really tall people. No, I mean, he got bunnies.
It made
there's
it look
no doubt.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Look, and here's the other thing about this. We probably shouldn't be talking about how good Jeremy Bell is right now because other schools know how good Jeremy Bell is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That staff at Indiana has had people move elsewhere, by the way.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Jeremy Bell's that good.
See? You're doing it right. Neither is Colter Ginn. Colton.
Well, you just name dropped
another
one.
See? I don't even know his name. He's not that good.
Who's that one guy? Sucks.
Nailed it.
If he was worth the shit, he'd start.
Facts.
Just go play for Mike White.
They need a slashing dunker.
You always need a slashing dunker, dude, baby.
Yeah,
anyone who can yam it.
Can anybody control the ball in the fourth quarter or the second half?
I pray to God somebody
just
can.
A ball handler.
We're gonna have average 20 turnovers a game this season. But God,
a ball
we're
handler.
Gonna dunk the shit out of that.
There's ball. A new rule in Georgia high school football today. I gotta pull up the tweet. It was sent to me. I got tagged in it multiple times. Give me 1 second. Let's see here.
But
stepdad actually. Here it is. Breaking news, the GHSA will clamp down on transfers, making athletes who transfer more than once after their freshman season ineligible for an entire year. They will also require all schools to provide documentation of incoming transfers to prove they have made a bona fide move. GHSA will now make athletes who transfer will also require schools to send copies of driver's license, utility bills, and leasing agreements to prove transfers have made a bona fide move. All right, so the reason this has happened, in my opinion, okay, and I think I got a pretty good one here because of how involved I am with Georgia high school football. There has been a problem. There's been a major problem in Georgia high school football where basically if you have an apartment complex anywhere near your school zone, you got an opportunity to be a great high school football program because all you got to do is recruit. Used to, this is how it would work. You're a football player that wants to come to play for my school? That's great. We got an apartment complex right up the road. All we got to do is get you into that apartment complex and at least have a gallon of milk in the fridge. Literally. That was the statute. Or that was the standard. If the GHSA shows up tomorrow, we got to show that you're actually living there. So all we got to do is make sure there's something in the fridge and we got to make sure it re-ups. I would cover football players, guys, who would be playing at school A, living 45 minutes away from school A. And it didn't matter because they had an apartment somewhere over in school A's zone that just had something there. And if they needed to stay there, they could. All right, that's how bad it had gotten in Georgia high school football. So, and it also gotten to the point where I was covering high school football teams. There were like 15 of them that were really, really good. There's like 150 of them that are really, really bad. You can see this in the wins and loss records of high school football right now in Georgia high school football. At the end of the season, there's a bunch of 9-2 teams and a bunch of teams that are 3-10. And no in between because everybody's, oh, you're good as a freshman? Come play for me. All I got to do is get you an apartment complex. So this is a good thing for high school football. I think it's really, really good that you're at least, hey, you got one chance to move schools, buddy. And once you move schools, that's fine. And I used to be a guy who's like, oh, stick it out. If you're not good enough to play, get better. I used to be one of those guys. And I understand that. I also understand the kid who's like, hey, I'm a sophomore. The guy in front of me that's playing in front of me is a sophomore. I am never playing here. I need to leave if I have a chance to play college football. I'm with you. But you get one of those. And if you get beat out the second time, maybe college football ain't for you, and we need to start studying harder.
There was one philosopher by the name of Tate Martell, I believe, that said, don't swing and miss, especially on your second try. And I think like that's the motto that the GSHA has been adapting here. So
yeah.
But again, also, and maybe you can shed some light on this. There's gonna be some ways that teams get around this.
Oh, buddy, they already do. Nowadays, I mean, they are scouting middle school football.
They're
getting kids in middle school now. Where you're a great eighth grade player at Fiery Branch's district. You ain't gonna end up at Fiery Branch, buddy. You probably going to be playing high school football somewhere other than Flowery Branch. No offense
Jordan
to
Smith
Flowery
just
Branch.
Shut down his commitment.
Who?
Jordan Smith also just shut down his
commitment. I'll get
this. I don't know. We're living in a day and era where was Jordan Smith rumored to maybe potentially flip? We're just shutting it down. We're just letting everybody know. Maybe Kirby's like, hey, enough of this shit. Everybody shut it down. Jordan Smith just shut his recruitment down, ladies and gentlemen. But again, I don't – that dude just committed 2 weeks – like 3 weeks ago, a month ago. But cool. Awesome.
I guess that could very much be like, hey.
Good thing.
We don't need any more of these headaches. We don't need anyone else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are we going to get one of these from everybody? Seven Cloud did this several days ago. Marchese did it
today.
That might be
the new like, just you're basically placed on a do not contact list because
yeah.
But I mean, they're just going to call you.
Yo, it had gotten to the point, man. It was so crazy where I was seeing guys hit the so thankful for my time will always be a such and such. With that being said, I'm transferring to like graphic tweets
going for high schools.
Swear to God, dude, yeah. It's a thing. We got AI nodding head. It's a thing.
I mean, there was times where, like, there was a notorious case. I'm not going to name the school, but a rival school for us. There were two or three players that were living with the coach, the head coach of the team that had transferred. Just because they're like, you know, hey, you know, we're living here now. Very, very obviously just like coach calls like, hey, why don't you come play for us? You can stay at my house. We'll show you yada, yada, yada.
The gross – I'm glad this is happening because the grossness had it crept its way into my territory where I tweet out a kid. This happened to me this spring. I tweet out a kid at one school. Next thing I know, a kid or a coach from a school who does not coach that kid is texting me about or DMing me about, hey, is he really this tall? Hey, is he happy where he's at? Hey, this, hey, that.
Ew.
And I stopped responding. I'm like, what the fuck is going on, man? Y'all have no, there is no honor amongst thieves. None.
Mm-mm.
All right, zero. So I'm glad this is happening because it wasn't just the players. It wasn't just the parents. The coaches had gotten disgusting about some of this behavior as well.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about all the time in college football, the old adage of the rich get richer. That was especially the case in high school football. And it's people aren't as privy to it because, you know, it's hard to follow high school football. It's not as big of a product. But there were some prime examples, like you said, of high schools that were just having their draw of the litter for whoever they wanted.
And there's some of them that just don't make any sense to me. Some of these moves do not make any sense to me. There is a very prominent one that just transferred from a very prominent private school in Northeast Atlanta. Went from a private school in Northeast Atlanta as a four-star football player who is likely going to commit to an SEC school, transferring to another Northeast Atlanta school that's just historically really good at football. But the kid had no reason to leave, from my understanding, unless something went wrong at the really, really nice private school. It's weird. Very weird to me, and I'm glad at least GHSA is doing something about it because there are certain programs that violate this a lot more than others. Everyone claims they're innocent, and the worst thing I had happen to me this spring, Kirby, with all this nonsense was I went to 37 schools this spring, and I went to one school and go to another one and go to another one, and all these high school coaches are doing the same exact thing. Hey, I got a quarterback battle going on. Oh, you do, coach. Let's see who the two quarterbacks are. Well, Jimmy over there has been here since fifth grade. He's a lifer here at school A. And Johnny over there, well, Johnny just got here, and we're going to see who wins the battle. Johnny's 6'3", 220 pounds, got Power 5 offers. Jimmy looks like he's already on the road to an accounting degree. So I think I know who your starter is. You ain't got to tell me there's a battle for the sanctity of Johnny's, you know, confidence. You know what I mean? But that's happening all over the place.
Did I don't know if they're like released full details on this. Did they offer the opportunity for appeals? Because you'd have to imagine there's going to be some case where a kid moves twice.
I'm going to tell you this. If this is real, this means GHSA's actually gone about hiring people to run this down.
Mm-hmm.
Because for as long as I've covered high school football in Georgia, here's how their system operates. Okay, we got this phone right here, right? This is going to be a phone. And this phone right here is the hotline for snitches. Anybody who calls this phone, I'll pick it up and I'll take survey of the people that you are snitching on. All right, so you snitching on school A, and I mark a tick for school A. 26 more people call and snitch on school A, so I'm going to mark down 26 more ticks. All right, I got 15 ticks on school B. I got 16 ticks on school C. All right, we got enough time to go shut down school A. Let's go shut they shit up. And then they go get school A.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in GHSA been about, who do I get calls about most? You know who it was last year? Bo Walker got screwed by this. It was down there, starts with an S, down there in DeKalb County.
Sprayberry?
No, they're an orange and green school. was Stockbridge. White. Stockbridge. Stockbridge got shut down by the GHSA last year. You know why? Because everybody called about him. Because guess what? Cedar Grove's head coach left. So Cedar Grove's next in line football coach went to Stockbridge. And guess what? All those kids at Cedar Grove wanted to go coach for or go play at Stockbridge because nobody was taking the Cedar Grove job. The Cedar Grove job finally got somebody took it in mid-July. So what did GHSA do? Go ruin a bunch of high school careers for people like Bo Walker? Make them go up to Raven Gap because they don't play within the GHSA rules. So, yeah, they must have actually hired people. They must have actually hired people to go run this stuff down because normally they've been just going and getting the people who got called on most.
I mean, you would hope so because otherwise it's even more of a shit show now. But
James Cook not holding out?
He's probably going to hold out, but I think there was a quote today of like, hey, James, you know, what are you doing here? You're obviously in a contract negotiation. And I believe the direct quote from him was, I don't play about my money. Mm. So obviously there's like fines and things that you're given for not showing up to mandatory minicamp. So I'm sure.
I'm showing up so I don't get fined.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. Literally, probably that.
Okay. Well, that's good for him. Why is it taking so long for James Cook to pop like he has? He's playing his best football, most productive football of his career right now. Really, really highly touted football player as well coming out of high school.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
We had this discussion previous here's the first, show starting, and you didn't necessarily feel comfortable about it.
Well, here's the first thing. He was a 28 class of 2018 recruit. Mm-hmm. You came in that time. You were behind DeAndre Swift for 2 years.
Yeah.
You're not getting reps over DeAndre Swift.
Correct.
Brian Herrien was also on that roster, and Elijah Holyfield was also on the 2018 roster. So you were buried on that running back depth chart. It was going to take time for you to blossom anyways. 2020 was your junior year, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, well, I know you're working, he was dealing with an injury throughout that year. Didn't play as super much. In the meantime of that's going on.
Some hammy tightness.
I believe so. In the meantime of that's going on, Zamir White's coming into his own. Kendall Milton's having an insane freshman season. And by the way, you're only playing 10 games, so it wasn't like the opportunities were abound. And he didn't play in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl because his father passed away. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to the senior year of James Cook had a really, really good senior year. I think we talked about it, had almost 1,000 yards of total production, led the team in rushing with 730, which is a lot for Georgia running backs nowadays because it's so by committee. So, I mean, it's not that he didn't pop. I think it's honestly just that he was so buried on the depth chart and the opportunities weren't abound to where now you're seeing him have the success in the NFL.
There's also no doubt his rep share right now is his highest.
Oh, for sure. He's getting more burn than he ever
touches per game. It's higher than ever. So I guess it was just a matter of the opportunities and the time. Now, we have 14 minutes left in the show, and there are two really, really good takes to get to. Who wants to go first? You want to talk Gunnar Stockton legendary status, or do you want me to talk about Rodgers?
I want to talk about Gunnar Stockton for a little bit.
Well, come on, big guy. I don't know what that was. Come on, big guy.
All right. So I released this article earlier today talking about how Gunnar Stockton could potentially become a Georgia legend in his first year as a starting quarterback. It's important to note that I say a Georgia legend. This is not me saying that in his first year as a starter, he's going to be placed amongst the greatest names that have played quarterback at the college level. This is just from a Georgia perspective, and my reasoning behind this is say, let's say Gunnar Stockton does this as his first year as a starting quarterback, and you Georgia fans tell me how you would think of him moving forward and after his time finishes up in Athens. First off, let's say he beats Tennessee in week 3 on the road in Neyland Stadium. That would extend Georgia's win streak to 9 games in a row against the Volunteers, which ties Tennessee's record in the rivalry, and that would also set a record for the most consecutive wins at Neyland Stadium for Georgia, which would be 4. The current record is 3, which they are currently on, which they currently have right now. After that, let's say he beats Alabama. Would be the first time Georgia has won in a regular season game against Alabama since 2007. And would be the first time since they've won beat Alabama at Sanford Stadium since 2003. Now, obviously, there has been a limited number of opportunities for Georgia to play Alabama in Athens. The last time being in 2015. Outside of that, the other games have been played in Tuscaloosa. 2020 was an example. And then last year, of course. But again, beating Alabama, especially now, considering the history between these two teams, considering Kirby Smart's history against Alabama, if Gunnar Stockton were to also do that on top of beating Tennessee, that's certainly something to remember. Let's say he beats Texas for a third straight time this year. Arch Manning rolls into town. He goes up and duels against Arch Manning. Georgia gets the best of them. They now hold 3 straight against the Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian. I mean, that's now two times that Gunnar Stockton would have a win over the Texas Longhorns, the SEC championship game last year being the other one. And then to cap it all off, let's say that he beats the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, which would be a record in the rivalry's history for the most consecutive games won in that rivalry. So if he does all of those things in the regular season, obviously that alone, even without talking about the other games, if he does that, you're already chalking it up as a good season, considering that you would feel, if you beat Alabama, beat Tennessee, beat Texas, beat Georgia Tech.
See, you got him having to do all of these things. I'm telling you right now, he's already got the truck. He's already got the cows. He's already got the good old boy smile and demeanor. He's already got the everybody counted me out. This dude is a mullet and Copenhagen wintergreen on the sideline away from already being a Georgia legend.
You don't think
already?
That, I mean, I'm going to offer a counterpoint to both of you guys. He already is a Georgia legend.
No.
What he did in that SEC championship game is going to be talked about for a long time. Now,
I mean,
not,
we joked about it, but people are really going to talk about in 20 years, where were you during the Gunnar Stockton drop?
He's obviously not a legend in the Aaron Murray's, the Matthew Stafford, the Stetson Bennett's regards. But the name Gunnar Stockton is going to hold weight with Georgia fan base, positive weight, depending on what he does this year, for the rest of time just because of what he did in that Texas game.
If he had a different throwing motion and a fat dip in his lip, he'd already have a statue. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. The F-150, the cows, the state passing records, a mullet, Copenhagen wintergreen, statue.
I'm just saying, I think that in year one, he could do a lot of things. He is presented the opportunity to do some things that would have Georgia fans say, like, yeah, Gunnar Stockton, Georgia legend.
Since I've been here, most unanimously likable quarterback that has started for this school. Now, he might have doubts about him, but this is the most unanimously every dog fan I encounter is hopeful that Gunnar Stockton is great. There is nobody rooting for the downfall of Gunnar Stockton. And every other quarterback that I've covered, people have been rooting for that downfall. At least a portion of it has.
Yeah, it was just more me so saying that the opportunity is presented for him to do something crazy this year to where he could have a national title, whatever. Like, that doesn't even have to be included in the picture. I mean, this guy would have an SEC title to his name and those things.
Me so agreeing with you.
Okay. I don't know what you're giggling at.
All jokes aside, miso soup's bomb. All jokes aside,
it sucks.
It does suck. You got to dump a bunch of soy sauce.
Yeah.
Like
miso soup is bomb.
It's just
what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's not very good. But I like miso soup because I know what's coming after miso soup. You
That's
know
fair.
What I mean?
That's fair.
I know I'm finna hibachi the shit up out there.
I would argue that egg drop soup is.
Oh, no.
Not an egg drop guy?
Not an egg drop guy. I'm a wonton guy.
All jokes aside, like, why can't Georgia this year play their way, execute their way, play the style of offense that Riley Leonard led a team to a national championship game to? Why can't they do it?
I mean, this goes back to my take of saying, why can't Georgia be the 2024 version of Notre Dame last year?
Why can't they?
I have nothing to argue against why they can't.
Hey, last year, there was a super team on paper, a couple of them. Ain't no super team on paper this year.
Nope.
You knew if you were Notre Dame on your way to a national title, if you ran into a buzzsaw, you'd be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a buzzsaw on the paperwork right now.
I think that the reason that people are so out on that is of the out-executing what Georgia teams have traditionally done
mm-hmm.
is because you saw that take such a drastic decrease in 2024. We talked about drops, penalties, overall execution from players took a nosedive that season to where people are like, oh, this is what the new Georgia is. If Georgia starts putting up 2021 levels of execution or the early Kirby Smart teams like 17, 18, 19, they're going to be a very, very good football team this year.
Our Gates hits the chat with late, but first live show I've made in a while. Well, buckle in because I got a half-baked take for you, brother.
Another half-baked?
Another one. And I like this one. I think this one's real tea leafy. So, obviously, Aaron Rodgers has officially signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is kind of late news. I mean, it just kind of hit the timeline. But everyone kind of connected these two all during the offseason, right? Or at least it appeared that Aaron Rodgers was going – if he was going to play this season, he was going to play in Pittsburgh. Not only that, Pittsburgh let Russell Wilson go. They traded Justin Fields. We all knew they weren't about to go into a season with Mason Rudolph at the starting quarterback position. Not when, you know, Mike Tomlin feels a little bit of pressure after not having made the playoffs, at least successfully in the last several years, right? We all kind of assumed that Aaron Rodgers was going to go to Pittsburgh. But for me, I realized today that this should have been confirmed on this channel weeks ago. This Aaron Rodgers confirmed to Pittsburgh Steelers should have been confirmed the day that they traded George Pickens.
Oh, think so. Oh.
I do. All right, and why? Here's why. I'm gonna bring you guys back. I know this ain't an NFL show, but there was a very famous moment last year when Aaron Rodgers absolutely lambasted Mike Williams for not running the proper route. Do you guys remember this?
Vaguely.
And it wasn't even, hey, he ran a vertical when he was supposed to be running a drag, or hey, he ran a corner when he was supposed to be running a bang eight. No. This was, he ran a vertical on the numbers when he was supposed to be on the red line. Aaron Rodgers threw an interception to end a football game, and all he talked about postgame was Mike wasn't in the spot that he was supposed to be. Mike was supposed to be on the red line. He was at the numbers. You have a question?
Do we just fall into the bucket of concepts real quick?
Yeah, we can. We can. Do we have EpiPen up?
I can get it pulled up.
All right, so this is a good point because I'm talking about red lines and people don't know what we're talking about. So let's go to the board and explain this. Okay. So a red line became a term, I think it originated, in my opinion, from college football, because college football teams practice on a football or practice field that also other schools and other sports, I should say, practice on. And when you practice on a football field that also has lacrosse lines on it, you will see a very noticeable red line on the field. So if this were the full width of the field, this is the sideline. These are the hashes. This is the top of the numbers. Okay. There is a mythical red line that runs in between the top of the numbers and the sideline. Why is this important? When we run some type of zone coverage, right, we have, like, for example, cover two, mm-hmm. We have an opportunity right here, a low hole and a high hole. If I throw this ball on the top of the numbers, this safety has an opportunity to get to it. If I throw that ball on the red line, which is about 2.5 yards outside of the bottom of the numbers, okay, we have an opportunity to fit that ball into that window. All right, if I run the route at the top of the numbers as opposed to the red line, we have messed up the route concept. Just that minor difference of an inside or outside release at the wide receiver pissed Aaron Rodgers off to the point where he was cooking Mike Williams, to the point where the Jets ultimately had to trade Mike Williams. Do we all remember this situation now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is that important relative to the George Pickens discussion? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, George Pickens ain't never been where he's supposed to be. Ain't never on the football field ever, unless I told him, George, run straight down the field to catch this gold ball, which is ironically what he's really, really good at. He ain't never where he's supposed to be. He's freelancing. He's playing basketball on grass. I got space here. I'm going to run to it. That's why I'm going to tell you right now, as an insider at the University of Georgia, it's why he didn't necessarily love playing with Jake Fromm. He loved playing with JT Daniels. Loved playing with JT Daniels. You know why? Nah, fuck it. George is down there somewhere. We made that joke. That was real. That really happened. This guy plays with free-form football. He does not play with inside structure. Okay? So, yeah, I would imagine Aaron Rodgers and George Pickens would not be getting along too well. No different than from what I've been told, Jake Fromm and George Pickens did not see football the same way. Because Jake is very methodical. Jake is very, my read here, my read here, my read here. Well, when I get to that third read, if you're not where you're supposed to be, I'm not comfortable, okay? Same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
So, just go full tinfoil hat theory here. Do you think that trading George Pickens was a stipulation from Aaron Rodgers before?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers put stipulations on an NFL football team. No, I would not be surprised. Would not be surprised at all.
Interesting.
Another half-baked take here for you. It's not even half-baked. This is a real take because I see the chat talking about the shirt today. Obviously, I'm wearing a Dale Earnhardt shirt. If you haven't, it's almost 5 hours. The five-hour documentary on Amazon Prime, I think it is worth your time, okay, the Dale Earnhardt documentary. But what you will notice about Dale Earnhardt in that documentary very early on is that Dale did not have a very strong relationship with his dad, okay? Dale's dad was also, Ralph Earnhardt was his name, was also a very famous race car driver, all right? And he dedicated his life to racing. He did not talk to his kids very much. He did not love on his kids very much. He did not tell his kids he's very proud of them. Ralph died of a heart attack mid-50s, early 60s, okay? Dale was very young, in his mid-20s, kind of like his son was when Dale ultimately passed. But Dale couldn't break the chain. If you watch that documentary, you will notice that Dale Earnhardt himself could not love on his own children, could not show that side of him, and it was completely erased from his kids, did not have that type of relationship with their dad because Dale didn't have that type of relationship with his dad, all right? As a parent, I have learned this. Your parents will have flaws. Your job as a parent is to break whatever chain of flaws your family has. All right, so you better find that. If it's addiction, if it's distance from your kids, if it's an inability to talk to your significant other, whatever the chain of issue in your family is, if you don't identify and break it, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, in my opinion. No matter how great you are, no matter if you're the greatest race car driver to ever exist, if you don't break the chain, you didn't do it. Break your chain. All right, I love you guys. Appreciate you for being here. We'll see you on Thursday.